Last Wednesday, I preached a message entitled Our Daily Walk with Jesus, and we're going to look more about that in a little bit more detail. We ended up and finished up that message about our relationship with Him and the different relationships, I guess, we have with our Lord. Remember, I mentioned about how the Lord pointed that out in John 13 about to the apostles, to the disciples there, that He is our Master and our Lord. He is God Almighty. And in all cases, we should reverence our Lord. We always look to reverence our Lord and should. But, you know, in that, one of the names of Jesus is the Everlasting Father. It tells us that in the book of Isaiah. And of course, this, you know, we wrangle with this of the Trinity. And it's just that way with us, because it's hard for us to understand that and comprehend that fully. God is one God, yet He is three persons. And our Lord Jesus is the manifestation of God into us. That's the way I understand that. You know, that's how God has revealed Himself unto us, is through His Son. Yet there is our Heavenly Father in heaven as the Lord Jesus walked on the earth. And yet, as the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He said, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus is there with Nicodemus speaking to him, and He says He's in heaven, you know. And so our Lord is really great, but He is our Master and our Lord, but yet He's our Heavenly Father. And there's a difference in a relationship to a father, isn't there? There's that of family. There's that of care, a father in the way that the Lord has ordained the family and put the family together. It's the father that's to provide. The father, the husband, is to provide. Our Lord Jesus is our Savior. And so, you know, in that, I mean, we see in the Father, just trying to parse this down a little bit and break it, maybe categorize it. We see the Father is loving us and chastening us, caring for us, has a plan for us, has instruction for us. We see the Lord as our Savior. Now we see one that has sacrificed for us. We look at the Father, and we know the Father owns all things, right? I mean, cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills to boot. Amen. You know, so we know our Heavenly Father has no challenge whatsoever providing for us. Maybe like our earthly fathers, mothers had a challenge in providing for us. Yet because of their love and care for us, they did so. They pushed ahead and they persevered. Our Heavenly Father has no struggle in providing for us. But then we see our Savior, who gave Himself completely for us. Totally and completely. He poured out His soul unto death. He died. He died for me. For you, if you're here and saved. He died for His people. We see a Savior that is following the Father, right? I mean, that's what Jesus came and did, is all that the Father commanded Him to do. And as we see in John 17 here recently, and we've touched upon that at the monthly fellowship meeting, I made mention of it here some too. We see our Lord Jesus praying to the Father for us and the desire for us to be unified. And that he has followed the Father and bids us follow Him. You know, so there's a difference there. And then we see our Lord Jesus, who in John chapter 15 makes it very clear that a man has no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And so he calls us friends, not servants. Yet we are his servants. We do worship him and look to obey him, but yet he is our friend too. Emphasis that I want to make tonight, and the desire in that message last Wednesday is our relationship with our Lord, our God, our Savior, our friend, the Lord Jesus, is our relationship and communication with him and our dealing with our Lord, does it cover all those facets of our Lord? See, evaluate your life. I know that in my life, that there was a time in my saved life, there was a time that I just focused and knew the Lord God Almighty. But I had to learn, and I'm thankful that the Lord has taught me some that indeed he is my friend too. You understand what I'm saying? See, yes, he is our God. And I don't want to be picky about words, but is he only God to you? Or is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? You know, we talked about communication last time and how it is that we find it very easy to speak to one another, and there is a closeness with some that's not with others. I mean, that just happens with our kin, it happens with our friendships and that. But our Lord is one that he's the closest of all. And how do we deal with him, he being the closest of all? And do we stand him off, or do we acknowledge him in these different facets, if you will, that the Lord fills? And so our relationship with our Lord. In our daily walk with our Lord, you know, our Lord has called us to grow. And again, what we're saved unto, and what we have in this family of God, in this kingdom of God, in this church of the Lord that we've been called into, our relationship is not to a creed and a set of doctrines and belief, but we have a relationship with a person, and we look to find out what he believes that we might line up with that. Amen? Rather than just accomplishing a faith in a series of doctrines, you know, because doctrine, teaching and understanding correct positions and only having that without the person is cold. It's cold. Again, it's not enough to die by. You and I need a person to die by, die with. And so our relationship is with our Lord. He saved us. He's in us, as we pointed out. He lives within us, the scripture tells us. And we always need to know and enjoy, maintain, and cultivate this personal relationship that we have with our Lord. And we need to work on it most of all. Okay, and that's what we're looking to get at. Again, relationships are maintained by communication, aren't they? If you and I came to services and walked right by each other, wouldn't shake hands, wouldn't hug or whatever, would see one another, look each other in the eye, and never speak to one another for about 6 months, what would we say about our relationship? It would get fractious, couldn't it? And certainly, may we never treat our Lord that way. One of the faults that the Lord had with Israel is that they didn't serve him with gladness. We're tempted that way. It can be that you and I can be found to be serving and obeying and looking to obey and follow our Lord with rigor. Remember that word rigor? It was used to describe what the Egyptians had put on the children of Israel in Egypt. And may our Lord help us if we feel that coming on us, that we're serving and following our Lord with rigor. May we go to Him and pray to Him that He would help us to understand what we need to do and change to enjoy Him. And fellowship with Him and speak to Him and hear from Him about these lives that He's given us to live and the call that He's given us to follow as His children and in His church. A good daily walk. We're called to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, familiar passage that we want to touch here and this speaking about the gifts of the Lord in leadership in the church and the teaching in the church. And it speaks here in Ephesians 4, verse number 14. The Lord's done this. We might come to the unity of the faith, says in verse number 13. Verse number 14 of Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children. To grow up. We're to grow up. And I ask you often, I ask us all often, are you growing? Have you grown and gained in the Lord from this time last year? Growing in the grace, the favor, and knowledge of the Lord. You know, and don't stone me, but the children of God can procure grace from the Lord. How? By obeying Him, by obeying Him joyfully, by going to Him in prayer. And take a read of it, Hebrews chapter 4. It tells it right there in the end of the chapter. We have an open invitation to the throne of grace that we might find it and find grace to help in time of need. Because the Lord loves His children, but the thing is the Lord's not looking for, the Lord's not looking for us just to come to Him when we need Him. Well, understand, we need Him all the time, don't we? Well, okay, so we'll be coming to Him. But we come to Him that we acknowledge that. That we acknowledge every facet, every aspect of life before Him. And we're talking to Him. Your spouse, do you communicate with your spouse? A good marriage is going to be found. There's going to be good communication, right communication involved. Well, we ought to be talking to the Lord as much or more about life than we do in our marriages. And growing up, not from being a child in the Lord to becoming mature. Is the Lord, you know, we're concerned about a child that doesn't grow, doesn't mature. And how does the father look at a child that doesn't mature? It's not good, is it? It's not right. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, as Brother Peter admonishes us in the last part, the last verse of this of 2 Peter there, that second epistle. In this relationship, there's communication. We've touched on that a lot. And how is it that we hear from the Lord? Well, it's through His Word, isn't it? It's through His Word, and then by the Word, and by our communication to Him, prayer, with those things at hand and those things in the work, and it being not just a cyclical kind of thing, just, you know, we really hit it hard. I mean, that happens to us, doesn't it? You know, things get hard, things get heavy, things get difficult. We're found praying more. Lord, forgive me. We need to be praying just as much when things are good. And we do. Okay, so now we've got something to ask the Lord to forgive us. And may we go ahead and, Lord, forgive me. See, don't harbor it, but say, Lord, forgive me. Thank You for showing it to me and help me to do better going forward. We're going to ask for a lot of forgiveness because we're in a strait with this old man and the new man at hand. And you know what's going to happen? As you and I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as you and I do mature, we're going to see more of our fault. Because when the world and the flesh is getting pushed down and the new man is getting fed and renewed and being filled, we're availing ourselves of the Spirit of God within us more. We're going to see things more like things. We're going to see things more like the Lord sees them. And we're pretty crummy. It's just that way. Sorry, I'm not looking to run you down, but we're just pretty sorry. Well, that's the way the flesh is. So we need to avail ourselves more to the new man. We've all got something always that we need to be working on. And so in this relationship of communication, we hear from our Lord in the study of his word. Let me ask you, what is there that the Lord cannot teach you and me? I'm not leaving me out of it. What is there that the Lord cannot teach you and me? Do you know what? Do you know the Lord's an expert plumber? He is. Our Lord's an expert welder. Brother, our Lord's an expert captain. He is, isn't he? He's an expert pastor. You see what I'm getting at? He's an expert in spine surgery. He's an expert at mathematics. You have projects at work. You have a challenge in rearing your children. He's an expert parent. You know, it was a blessing to me in my secular work and career to understand that the Lord was expert in research and development and the development of tooling and processes and all that. You know, when I got a handle of that, I looked a lot to wear him out because I was faced with things in my work that I did not know the answer. But you know what? The Lord did. He knew the answer. And see, he's worshiped when we go to him, when we admit our weakness before him, and we look and rest in him for the answer. And he will give answers. You got trouble with a remodel of a house? I know Brother Ashley, Sister Brittany, they just moved into a house and remodeled it. Brother, I'm not thinking about your place. I'm thinking about the place that my mom and dad bought a couple years ago. We tried to get people to help us and contractors and all that, and just couldn't find anybody that seemed to be sane. And so what we did is, and I'm just bragging on the Lord here. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on the Lord. Ask the Lord, show us, Lord, piece by piece, what is the next thing to do? And give us help and answers. And you know what? Day by day and piece by piece, the Lord took us through that. And a lot of times you say, Lord, what are we going to do now? But you know what? He's expert at construction. He's expert at heart issues with babies. He's expert at it. He's expert at spinal surgery and Terry. We need to pray for Terry. I know you are. He's expert with the eye. Think about getting shots in your eye like mom is. But she's a trooper at it now, you know, but we've been praying for that the Lord would help her with that. You know, the Lord's blessing in that. I can't do that. That's impossible. I tell you what, it's not impossible for the Lord. And the Lord can equip us. You know, what I'm trying to do is just go down through the facets of life. As we are before him as his children, is there anything that he can't teach us? The character that we need, the character that he desires and instructs to his children? Is there any of that that he can't help us with? We have a problem with anger. Have a problem with doubt. Have a problem with fear. Our Lord can help us. But you know what? He will not help us if we just think about going to Him. We need to get serious about going to Him. And I'm not accusatory in that. I'm just saying we need to go to Him. We don't need to think about going to Him. I tell you what, we need to get down on the knees in our heart. And if you get down on your physical knees, that'll be fine too. But we need to bow down before our Lord in our hearts and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And us, each one of us individually, the soul, the saved soul before Him, or as a child, you know, the Lord can help you to be the son and daughter that you should be. He can do it. He can do it. And we can go to Him and He'll help us. In our families, or in our work, as I've mentioned, about our work, our projects, the difficulties in work. You know what? You gotta struggle in school with learning a particular thing. You know, with many people, some things just come easy and some things are difficult. The Lord can help with those things. You know, He can just make it to where the thing clicks. But I tell you what, He won't do so by us just thinking and knowing that He can. We must go to Him that He will do so. Our skills, I tell you what, as a young person, and I'm not saying I'm real coordinated now, but I tell you what, when I had children, my coordination improved dramatically. The Lord can help with skills, with physical ability. He's able. He's got that kind of power. But do we go to Him? The need for provision. You got a need. You got a need for provision. I tell you what, we need to take those things to the Lord. Life issues, health issues, our children. Wouldn't you save your children if you could? Sure would. Boom, right now it'd be done. It'd be over with. Soon as you realize that it was a need, and of course you're saved yourself, so you know it's a need, and you know it's a need for everybody, and you found out that you could save them, boom, you'd do it. But we can't save them, can we? But, you know, the Lord can. While there's life and there's the Lord, there's help and hope and salvation. We tell you what, we need to go to Him. So in this communication with our Lord, us hearing from Him through His Word, what is there that the Lord cannot teach us? See, the Lord's not just there just to teach us about things of the Bible. Provide for us just only things in the Bible, but the things of the Bible show us that the Lord can work in all things of life. And that's one thing, as you and I read the Bible, we'll talk about that here in a moment, reading the Bible and studying the Bible and meditating on the Bible, those are three different things. We can just read just to read, and that's good, or listen. To the Scripture. But then getting in and studying about the Scripture is yet another thing. And then taking the Scripture that we have read or listened to or studied about and mulling that over. And of course, that touches upon study, the mulling over, the meditating, it's likened to a cow chew and cud. I know that's kind of gross, but that's the way we do that mentally. Do you do that mentally about the Word of God? I tell you what, it'll help us. And the thing, well, where, Brother Jim? Pick a passage. Just pick a passage. Pick a passage and just slow down. And Lord, show me some things here about this. My pastor always used to ask, do you have any questions about the Word of God? Do you have any questions that maybe come out of the services or out of the Sunday school classes? Questions that come out from personal study, they're there. They are there. I recommend to you, get your notebook. You got questions, write them down. Ask the Lord to show you the answer. You know what? The answer may not come immediately. It might be a year. Might be a couple weeks. Might be the next service. Might be the next time that you pick up the Word of God and you're reading somewhere else. And the Lord shows it to you. So as we hear from Him in His Word, understand that there's nothing that our Lord can't teach us about His Word being applied to our life and all the things of life. Prayer, our going to the Lord and speaking to Him, is there anything that you and I cannot talk to the Lord about? Is there anything off limits? And why is there nothing off limits? Why? Think about that. Why is there nothing off limits? He knows everything. And He knows everything. Okay. He knows about everything in the universe, right? And He knows everything about me. He knows things, everything about me that Clarissa doesn't know. That my parents don't know. That my children don't know. That you don't know. He knows everything. There's nothing off limits. We can go to Him with everything. You know, if we are ashamed about going to Him with something, maybe it's repentance time. Amen? If we are struggling with the thing, it's good to know that you're struggling with the thing. And so repentance and asking the Lord for help and what we need for strength to deal with the thing. Maybe we have some besetting sin. It's that way with people. I'm not saying that it's justified. I'm just saying we're just talking about the way it is in life. Some things bother you that don't bother me, vice versa. It can be that way. It can be that way. Do we go to the Lord with those things, or do you struggle with them by ourselves? Thinking about it is not praying and petitioning our Lord about it. Hear me? Understand that? Thinking about it and mauling it over, grieving about it, wanting something different about it, is not going to the Lord and facing Him with it, asking for help. Understand that. And it's good for us to care one for another. Part of our care one for another is that we do think about one another. But our Lord wants us to go to Him. And is there anything that we can't go to Him with? Is there anything that the Lord stalled in helping with? He just can't go there. He's just out of juice, out of horsepower to be able to. Or in the local vernacular, he just doesn't have enough mustard to get it done. He's got enough, doesn't he? He's got the power. And we can go to Him with everything. When should you and I walk with God? When is that walk? When is it? Is it Sunday morning or is it Sunday? The way we do Sunday services, we've got a large time that we're here together and our meal in between and prayer classes and that, and I like the way that we have services in our day on Sunday. I know it's wearisome on the flesh, and many of you, most of you, drive a distance indeed. But it's just Sunday? Is our walk with the Lord just Sunday? Is it just coming on to Wednesday afternoon? Is it 1 week in the fall is our walk with the Lord? Our walk with the Lord's all the time, isn't it? It is. Our walk with the Lord is all the time. You know, sad to say, I know a fellow where he was raised up that the walk with the Lord was just on Sunday and Wednesday in services. And that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. The walk is all the time. And that's connected to the kind of person that the Lord looks for us to be. One person. Same person here. That's the same person at home. That's the same person at work. That's the same person out in the neighborhood. One person. One person. Walking with God. Walking with God. Do you see yourself walking with the Lord? Do you see yourself walking with the Lord and He holding your hand? Yeah, for a man, that's kind of an odd way of thinking. But what do you think about Psalm 23? I tell you what, there's a shepherd caring for his sheep. We need to walk with him. He goes with us everywhere we go. He's right there with us in everything that we do. And he hears indeed everything that we say. Because why? He's living within. And of course, he's omnipresent. You know, he's not only within, he's without and everywhere too, isn't he? He is. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Scripture says in verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he that is the Lord, our Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, our God and Creator, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let your conversation, that way of our way of thinking, speaking and doing, be without wanting something else other than what our Lord wants for us, right? I mean, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that being the case, we're told how to live. Do you not like that? I'll tell you what, we're subject to have times that we'll rise up and rear up against it. We don't want that. But the thing is, what our Lord has told us is the best for us. It's the best for us. And understand, when we rear up and buck up against it, it's not the new man that's doing that. That's the old, carnal, sinful, wicked old man. Our conversation. Don't want something else other than what our Lord has given us. And what has he given us? Well, it's right here in this book. We need to be consuming it and eating it and drawing it to ourselves. What's the psalmist say? Thy word have I hid in my heart. What's that word? The foundational Baptist doctrines that make us Baptists. That word? Well, yeah, that word. But it's also all things moral. All things moral that the Lord's given us. Brother Doug's going through a study about the law. Different aspects of the law. What the Lord has commanded us is we're to take that and apply it to our lives willingly, because we know that that's what will please him. We want something else? Do you want something else? Want something else, we need to repent of that and let our conversation, our way of thinking, our way of speaking, our way of doing be without covetousness, wanting something else. Philippians chapter 1, the apostle writing to the church at Philippi there in Macedonia, he writes to them in verse number 27 of chapter 1, only let your conversation, thinking, doing, and speaking, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Thinking, doing, and speaking as is appropriate to be found relative and connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the gospel speak to us about? Sacrifice. Speaks to us about sacrifice, doesn't it? That our Lord sacrificed for our case, our for our sakes. And our conversation needs to be that we're willing to sacrifice the world and the old man. Isn't that what it speaks about in Romans chapter 5, that we are crucified with Christ? Those things are crucified. I've been saved from that wickedness. I've been saved from that old man. You and I have been. He says here, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Wicked worldly behavior isn't becoming of the gospel of Jesus. that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's a theme that you find in the book of Philippians, the faith of the gospel. There's a study right there. So when should we walk with the Lord? Every moment. Every moment. And our conversation is to be in line with him and his gospel. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, take a look over here and we'll close. Joshua chapter 1. The Lord speaking unto Joshua, says in verse number 1, saying, he tells him verse number 7 to be strong and very courageous. Verse number 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And understand, that's the correct order. And then thou shalt have good success. You and I want to have good success in the Lord. May the Lord help us that we walk with him, hear from him, speak to him, and fellowship with him in every way. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, really, you don't have much life. Oh, you're living, and there's things that you have enjoyed and will enjoy, but if you're here and you're not saved, have you ever noticed that the things of this life just don't last? Oh, something's fun for a while, isn't it? And there are enjoyable things. There's enjoyable things in the world that aren't wicked. But you've got to go back. You always have to go back because it just doesn't last. And the thing is for the unsaved, there's a void there that only the Lord Jesus can fill. There's a void there indeed that only the Lord Jesus can fill. And you know what? There's a world of people, has been, are, and will be, until our Lord Jesus comes back and he wraps up this whole world. A world of people that are trying to fill that void up with anything and everything and just doesn't do the trick. But I tell you what, you've got the Lord Jesus. You've got the Lord Jesus as Savior. There's peace, isn't there? And there's rest. And there's contentment. And there's a no-so hope of a wonderful, wonderful future. And as we sing, as the song says, there's nothing or no one that can take that away. Right? So if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in him. Believe in him and his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what? By receiving Christ, he's saving your soul. Then these things that I've talked about tonight can be for you. And indeed, they are a blessing. They are a blessing.